Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, part two of my exclusive interview with Governor Brian Sandoval. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Aaron Johnson and Dick Gamak. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
What has the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center contributed to Northern Nevada, and just in the past few years? Well, they're home to 130 industrial companies, manufacturing, distribution, clean energy, occupying over 12 million square feet of industrial space, and employing over 6,000 Nevadans. That's incredible. All in less than 5 years. And with over 100,000 acres to go, we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
From Nevada Newsmakers, the governor of the great state of Nevada, Brian Sandoval, has graciously agreed to extend our interview into a part two. So let's start out with this one. Is the gay marriage ban being turned around for Nevada a foregone conclusion for both Nevada and the country?
You know, it's, I don't know. I mean, I know, you know, that there is the legal challenge, and the Attorney General made the decision that I supported, that the law, at least in the Ninth Circuit, doesn't support the Nevada Constitution. So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, there was the bill in the session of the legislature. It will go back on the ballot, and the people will have an opportunity to speak their mind.
Do you feel that there's a momentum in the nation?
Well, you can see that there's been a change nationally with regard to this, and state by state, there's been a change of position on gay marriage, and I think Nevada is part of that.
Do you feel that you have evolved on the topic?
I don't think so. I mean, I've always taken the position that marriage is between a man and a woman. I'm Catholic, but I'm respectful of individuals. And so personally, my position hasn't changed, but I have a great respect, a profound respect for the law, and will respect that.
If Harry Reid is taken out in 2016, that would mean either Chuck Schumer or Dick Durbin would be majority leader. Would that be good for Nevada issues, especially Yucca Mountain?
Well, and yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. I just got
and
asked
I didn't ask you the most obvious question.
No, and it's fine. I mean, and I answered this yesterday
in
an LA Times story just yesterday. Undoubtedly, regardless of party, it is better for Nevada to have an individual in the majority leader's position to be from our state. You know, I work with Senator Reid on many issues. We've talked about it today. We've talked about it with regard to the drones. We've talked about it with regard to sage grouse, economic development, transportation. We work very well together in terms of advancing the great state of Nevada. So if there was a change in 16, I don't know, if you've got somebody from New York or from somewhere else, obviously it wouldn't be as beneficial to our state.
The Southern Nevada Medical School, are you willing to put money into the budget to make this happen?
No, and I continue to have conversations. I've met with Don Snyder, who is the acting president of UNLV. I've met with other representatives, legislative representatives. I mean, there's no doubt there needs to be a larger presence in Southern Nevada. We're working on the budget right now. This is something I think is good for the state to have a medical school in Southern Nevada. It's a very expensive proposition, and we just got to make sure that we budget in a prudent way in terms of accomplishing that.
The big need, it seems, with the increasing population in Southern Nevada especially, is more medical residencies mm-hmm. for Newminted doctors. Is that something that you can help with?
Already have. I've signed an executive order creating a council to look at and study GMEs, graduate medical education, to find a way that we can accelerate having more of those residencies in the state of Nevada. I'm also going to be meeting with the head of our medical board to see if there's a way that if we can have doctors who are interested in coming to our state, that we can expedite their ability to get here. I mean, all the statistics say we have a shortage of doctors. We've already talked about in one of the earlier portions of the show the amount of people that are getting insured and will require medical attention. So we've got to look at it. I look at it in three ways. Those two that I just talked about, getting more of those residents here, because if they do their residency here, they're more likely to stay here. And we want Nevada students to be able to stay here. And then secondly, to be able to make it attractive and possible for out-of-state doctors to come here. Also with telemedicine, there's an issue with that as well. And then in the long term, a medical school. I mean, you got to understand that if we built a medical school now, you wouldn't have your first class graduate right. until 2021, and they wouldn't finish their residencies until 23. So that's not going to solve the problem now.
Changing topics again.
This is the rapid fire round.
It is. It is. Nevada's gaming tax rate is the lowest in the country, but it seems to be helping draw new big money players to the Silver State, Genting, the Malaysian giant, for example, to the Echelon site with a $3 to $7 billion project. There was a talk in Bloomberg about Melco Crown, the Australian company, potentially coming in and buying up the Cosmopolitan. Do you see this in the same way that? Because it seems like to me, looking at all the numbers, 92% occupancy rate in Las Vegas, baby, we're back.
Yeah, no, and Steve Wynn just said that.
Right.
Jim Murren is very positive and optimistic from the MGM. But you mentioned this Genting project. You said it, $3 to $7 billion, and it's going to go at the old Echelon site, which is just a bunch of steel right now. It is an absolute beautiful project. They are on the Gaming Control Board agenda this month for licensing. We're very confident that they're going to start breaking ground this year. So that's a great project. The MGM just announced a $375 million arena for which they broke ground just a few days ago. So there are a lot of good things going on.
And a huge $100 million investment in the park.
Yes.
Which will be the area in front of it. The mm-hmm. Delano, $100 million. You know, $100 million here, $100 million there. Pretty soon it starts to add up to real money.
No, it does. And it's part of that continual reinvention of Las Vegas to make it attractive. You know, they're looking for at a new stadium on campus at UNLV. There's $1 billion, and I said it with a B, healthcare project called Union Village that's going to start construction this fall in Henderson. So I'm really excited about, you know, the future of the state.
All right, let's take a break. One more segment coming up with the governor after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Family Court is about people. My diverse background helps me to relate to the people coming before the court. I started my career supporting the arts before working as a senior research analyst for the Nevada legislature. I went to law school at age 35, and I've worked on cases for families, small businesses, and large companies, and even started my own firm, which employed over 35 people. I'm Karen Cafferetta Jenkins, and I'd appreciate your vote for family court judge.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
TravelNevada.com.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the governor of the great state of Nevada, Brian Sandoval. What's the job of lieutenant governor in your next term if you are reelected?
Well, it's the same job as it is now. I mean, the lieutenant governor chairs the tourism commission. The lieutenant governor is the vice chair of the transportation commission. The lieutenant governor also sits on the finance board. So there's a lot of those responsibilities. Obviously, the lieutenant governor presides over the state senate and also sits on the economic development board.
Do you see it as potentially a full-time job for somebody?
Well, I mean, I guess that job is always what you can make it. Lieutenant Governor Kralicki has done a fabulous job. He spends a lot of time in China and other places drumming up business for tourism and economic development. I know that takes a lot of his time to do that. So, again, it's what you make it.
All right. Essentially, it's what you make it. Mm-hmm. How are the local jurisdictions doing as far as medical marijuana? And do you think recreational marijuana will happen in 2016?
Okay. In Nevada? Well, I mean, that's a little premature. I mean, they've just finished the regulations. The respective jurisdictions are making the decisions whether they're going to be able to have the sites to dispense or to grow. That's a local decision. I think they're doing fine. They're doing all their due diligence. With regard to recreational marijuana, that's something I don't support and will not support. But there's a ballot. There's individuals out there getting signatures. And if it goes on the ballot, then it'll be up to the people.
There seems to be an awful lot of money in this, potential tax money for the state and for the local jurisdictions at a time when property tax caps won't allow them to get back to where they were before the recession.
Right, and you could make that argument about a lot of different things, but for me, it's not just about the money. And this is something that I've always been opposed to, is decriminalizing the recreational use of marijuana. I've always been very supportive of the medical marijuana piece. That's why I signed that bill that allowed for all this to go forward. But I think you've got to be very careful when you use that argument.
The North-South split, it seems to be getting louder and uglier in the state of Nevada.
Yeah, and I guess I'll disagree with you, Sam,
because Las Vegas Review-Journal, Jim Rogers, the owner of this TV station that we broadcast on, Brian Greenspun, the publisher of the Las Vegas Sun, these are very loud voices that say that more money should go to Southern Nevada and that the North has had, you know, the gravy train for too long.
Well, I guess I'll respectfully disagree. And we're working really hard. I mean, there's something that's we're going to look at this time with regard to the funding of K-12 education. The formula for that is something that is 30 or 40 years old. We have to look at the way schools are funded now and the changing demographics in our school districts. If you look at transportation, I'm the chairman of the transportation board, and you look over the past 3-4 years and you look at the proportionality of the money that's gone to transportation projects, you'll see that it's very balanced. And in fact, moving forward, as we look at I-11, as we look at the Boulder City Bypass, as we look at Project Neon, you'll see a tremendous amount of financial resources that are going to go into the infrastructure of Clark County.
So you don't see the North-South split as really being there?
I don't. And, you know, and I think that that's a narrative that, you know, a lot of folks will take. But, you know, I'm going to continue to work very closely with the Southern Nevada legislators, with the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance, with the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce. In all my conversations, they've been very positive.
You recently took a trade mission to Israel.
Yes, yes.
And that seems to have brought back some business. Will you tell us a little bit about that?
No, and it was a great trip in that regard, and not just from a business standpoint, from an educational standpoint, and being able to have faculty exchanges between UNLV, between DRI, UNR, and the Israeli universities. But in terms of business, there are several Israeli entities and individuals that are interested in expanding in the state of Nevada and investing in the state of Nevada, so it was very worthwhile.
You also have been to Canada and Mexico. We've got about a minute and a half here. Can you share some business opportunities that are coming from those trips?
Well, same thing. And in terms of Canada, we met with them. Canada, as they describe it to me, has a very small population, 30 million people, but a lot of capital. So they're looking for opportunities to invest in infrastructure in the U.S. Project Neon is a candidate project for that type of investment. So it's very useful on that and the UAVs. Similar with Mexico and tourism and having direct flights between Mexico City and Las Vegas could be very beneficial for us.
Are you looking at potentially expanding the international offices for the Commission on Tourism? Because with Terminal 3 at McCarran, that is the big push, is to get more international travel.
Well, we already have a pretty extensive presence internationally through the Department of Tourism. We have offices in Korea, China, Mexico. I can't name them all off, but we do have offices not with Nevada employees, but representatives of the state of Nevada there. But we want to do everything we can to bring people internationally to Las Vegas and to the great state of Nevada.
Governor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program, sir. Thank you for doing this extended interview.
You're welcome.
We hope to see you very soon.
You will. Thank you very much.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Thinking of selling your home? See Marshall Realty for short sales, rentals, and regular sales.
No matter what your needs are, we have options for you. Adding value to homeowners is what we do. Call 473-1055.
You know, Grocery Outlet has unbeatable prices.
Save up to 50%.
Did you know about the organic selection and the premium wine?
Keeping it real with premium grapes.
Did you know about the products from all over the world?
From the West Coast to the West Coast to somewhere else.
Did you know that Old El Paso burritos are buy one, get one free? Just $1 a package when you buy two.
At Grocery Outlet. Bargain Market.
I like talking in this voice. I sound good.
KRNV News 4 salutes all Nevadans who have served and are currently serving in America's Armed Forces.
As the Adjutant General for the state of Nevada, I'm extremely proud of Nevada's servicemen and women. With courage and dedication, they all play a key role in the nation's safety and security.
And we should all be proud of those Nevadans who have given the ultimate sacrifice in the defense of our great country.
Nevada was battle-born.
And we are
Nevada proud!
Thinking of selling your home? Want top dollar for your property?
With our aggressive marketing plans, our team is focused on your success. So call me today and find out why so many homeowners trust us.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel as always. Dick Gamick, the Washoe County District Attorney, is here. And Orrin Johnson, Republican activist and publisher of orrinjohnson.com. Pleasure to have you both here on the program. So we've been talking to the governor over the last couple of programs here. And one of the stories that's been making big news is his comments about Xerox and the healthcare exchange. Your thoughts, Mr. Gamick.
Sam, I'm still hung up
and I know I stay antiquated sometimes, but I'm still hung up back at the beginning of this. This whole thing came about because 11% of the nation's population didn't have health insurance. So we turned the whole system upside down. I know why the state of Nevada developed its own exchange, because the option was either you develop your own in the state or the feds are going to move in and take it all over. So the state developed their own. And then they went to Xerox, and Xerox has failed miserably. The number of people that have signed up is not anywhere near what was expected. And guess who winds up paying for all this? We're sitting here, guys.
Arne?
Well, so, you know, it really struck me when he was talking about it, and I feel like he was trying to save, and I agree with Dick. I understand why he did it. I wish he would have just left it with the federal exchange, because I think the failures were predictable. Whether or not Xerox was going to run it or some other company were going to run it, the whole system is structurally flawed. And so he pointed to some success stories and some hope for success stories, and I think that that's right. But what he needs to do, and this is both good politics and good policy, he should call the legislature into special session, not complain that we have to wait until the next session in order to get ourselves out of the federal exchange. Even Oregon, even Massachusetts, that pioneered this type of system, has now essentially gotten out of their state exchange. It's okay to say, hey, look, we've done this, it's not working, it's not going to work before we invest millions more. Let's back off and try to do something else. Let's call it in a special session, make everybody go on record with how they feel about this exchange. Let's fix it now instead of waiting for an open enrollment period. And then propose, as if we had the most powerful senator in the Senate, some changes that could really help, like letting people, you know, reducing some of the mandates, letting people purchase insurance across state lines, that sort of thing. He can use this failure as a platform for really fixing it without throwing out the baby that is, there is some baby in all this bathwater.
All right, so Dick, you're somebody who's used to running a vast system as district attorney. When you hear something like this of, you know, call the special session and basically throw this thing out, how do you respond to something like that? Is that overreach?
No, I've got one issue right off the bat with what Orrin said. We're in a push in this state right now of getting rid of some of the federal control, and to turn around and go back under the feds, under this system. And there's nothing saying that the CAC, or whatever, ACA, Obamacare, yeah, is working anyway federally.
I think you're the first person to call it CAC, but that's okay.
it's not necessarily working either. So I think the governor took a good approach yesterday, and he's saying, here's my options. Here's what we can look at. Calling a special session is not a very popular move in this state, and especially right now with all the elections going on, I don't think it would go over real well. So I think he's looking at the options. He's seeing what can be done. Maybe Xerox will wake up. They're getting some publicity, and it's not the kind they like.
Yeah, and they're not getting the money. Let's change this topic to another area that he spoke of in the previous program, which was sage grouse.
It was interesting watching that, because I didn't look at the great big picture on this, and it could be seriously devastating to this state. I want to compliment you for your question and say, well, I've been asking all along, if we're in such trouble, why are we still hunting them? Why are we having seasons? We got to do something. But I think it goes bigger than that when you look at the overall issue, and that is the habitat. The sagebrush is getting wiped out either through development or fires. I know Nevada went looking for sagebrush seed after those last big fires, and Utah had bought it all, because they had the same problem. So habitat is a big issue, and I really don't like the idea of closing down the state, basically, is what's going to happen if the feds come in and rule.
To me, beyond the bird itself, what really struck me, and I wrote this down, he was talking about working with California, Wyoming, all these other, I mean, you've got Jerry Brown in California, and I don't know who the governor of Wyoming is, but I bet he's not politically aligned with Jerry Brown. But all these folks agree that this is a problem, that this listing would be a problem. Why are governors of all these states, again, with one state having the most powerful senator in Washington, begging a regulatory agency, please don't devastate our economies? That is so backwards. And it goes back to the whole Clive Bundy thing. And I've got really nothing nice to say about Clive Bundy and his militia groups.
Yeah.
And his militia groups at this point. But it speaks to this kind of race to the bottom of federal control in a ham-fisted, overreaching way that doesn't make sense for what's actually happening on the ground. And you know the system is broken when a bipartisan group of governors over a vast region have to go begging to an administrative bureaucrat to save their economies. That's insane.
Dick?
I'm not a big fan of federal government, as you're aware. We've talked about that before. But in this instance, they had a court ruling saying that he owed that money and he needed to give it to them. And then he goes to the county clerk because he didn't think the federal government, he knew that land was grazing land under federal rights when he started using it 20 years ago. So I really have a problem. We talked about this the other day. That this is a continuing criminal activity. The militia being down there, these are the people that they are there saying they have absolute Second Amendment rights, and yet they show up to face off with the government entities and authority with guns. They're the ones that are hurting this whole cause more than anybody else, because now the anti-gun people have another subject to talk about. A bunch of people running around down there in the desert with guns, militia.
Well, and
they have no business being there. I said the other day, and I'll say it again, they need to pack their bags and go home. And then let's deal with this thing, deal through the system the way it's supposed to, and Mr. Bundy, get your checkbook out.
And worse than that, now they're making a joke of the real problem. Now every time somebody says, hey, look, the feds have too much power over our federal lands, as evidenced by the sage-grouse issue and the Yarrington bill and many other things. And now we can't talk about it seriously because anybody who says, hey, the feds have too much control over what maybe ought to be state lands in Nevada are a bunch of idiot militiamen harassing private citizens who are trying to get to church on Easter Sunday, which is what's happening down there now.
And that's where we have to leave it. Gentlemen, a fiery discussion. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
A fire-adapted community is prepared to survive a wildfire with little or no firefighter assistance. To help prevent ignition by embers, remove dead and dying plants from around your home. Be sure to remove low-hanging branches and the flammable plants underneath your trees, also known as ladder fuels. Non-flammable plants and pathways create separation and help prevent fire from spreading to your home. Make it
lean, clean, and green.
Visit livingwithfire.info for more tips to save your home.
Having your disability application denied, it's just not fair. Well, at David Allen Associates, we can do something about it, and right now, stop the frustration. Stop it now. I'm David Allen.
So do you guys have a favorite teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. And you know what's great is that News 4 has an Excellence in Education program that you can nominate them for.
Hi, I'm Shelby Sheehan of News 4. Each month we take your nominations and find one special teacher to recognize. It's our way of highlighting all the wonderful teachers we have in our area. Each month's winner is honored at their school and featured on News 4.
United Federal Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Excellence in Education.
Along with Reno Aces Baseball.
Do you like persuasion? Incentives? I know I do. And you are going to love the new and most generous incentives that Fiat has ever offered. Just listen to this.
Right now, you can drive away in a new 2014 Fiat 500L for as little as $18,000. Save almost $2,000 off MSRP. This four-door urban utility vehicle means a remarkable amount of space for passengers as well as stuff.
And why do I love talking about Fiat so much? Take a look at what I'm driving.
We're Functional Designs. Our low overhead gives us the price advantage that we pass on to you. Check us out today. We're Functional Designs.
Also covering you with Hunter Douglas Window Fashions on Glendale next to the river and GSR.
On our next broadcast, one of my favorite people, gaming correspondent Howard Stutz of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We'll see you on the next broadcast.